to water the ground, to irrigate the ground. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted and Paul watered, and Apollos watered. You may not be a church planter. You don't know how to plant a church. You do not know how to sow the seed. Sowing the seed in the Bible is a picture of preaching. Paul tells Timothy to preach the word of God in season and out of season, using the picture of a sower, sowing. In this case, sowing at any time of the year. The preacher sows at any time of the year, not only in spring. Now, you may not know how to preach. You may not be called to preach the word of God. But every Christian, and this is the point of putting the hand to the plow, every Christian is called to plow. This takes us to the third point, to ask the question, what exactly then are we called to do? What is the plow that we put our hand to? Now, what do you think is a plow? Look at a plow. What does a plow do? Well, what does a plow do? A plow is simply an instrument in which one end is a pole which goes over the back of the animals. If there are two or four or six, they usually are in pairs. One is a straight pole, and the other is a thing that goes into the ground with a hook in it. And this thing is towed in the ground in such a way that this hook plows up the ground. And I have mentioned this before, and I mention it again. It looks very much like a cross. There is the bar that goes across the two animals or four animals, and there is the other bar that goes into the ground. The part that is in the ground, of course, is hidden. That part which is that spade-like thing that turns the ground over. So when you look at it like this, it looks very much like a cross. And that is where the Lord deliberately uses this picture. Putting your hand to the plow is like taking hold of the cross. It's putting your hand to the cross. That is to say, we are to live, to put your hand to the cross, to take up the cross, is the call in this third point, to live the sacrificial life. Becoming a Christian, serving God, is the call to take up your cross and follow Christ. It is a call to the sacrificial life. What does the plow do? Well, it turns over the ground. It causes the ground to turn over. What is the ground? What is the field? The Lord Jesus has made that clear to us in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. In Matthew 13:38, the Lord says, the field is the world. This world is the field which we are plowing. How do you plow? Well, you put this plow, this cross, into the ground, and it turns all the soil over. It turns everything upside down. Exactly as they said of the apostles in Acts, that Paul and Barnabas were turning the world upside down. That's what the cross does. When you live the kind of life to which you are called, you will make a mark in the world. Because you, wherever you go, you are turning everything upside down. Now notice, you cannot sow the seed without plowing. Because nothing will grow. If you sow the seed on the ground, what happens? The birds will come and eat it up. And it just cannot penetrate the ground. The ground has to be turned over before the sowing of the seed can take place. In the same way, the kind of life that you live through taking up the cross and following Jesus, the kind of life that you live in being committed to Christ, is what makes a mark upon the non-Christian. Your professing to be a Christian makes no mark upon anybody. It is the life, the quality of the life that you live that makes a mark. Isn't it not? Think of how you became a Christian, how I became a Christian. Do you think I was impressed that somebody said, I'm a Christian? Well, so what? You're a Christian. Somebody else is a Hindu. So what does the difference it make? But what difference it makes is when you see the quality of his life. That is what makes an impression upon you. It is the quality of the Christ-like life. It is the quality of this cross in your life that makes a mark on the non-Christian. It is that which turns the soil upside down and prepares his heart for the preaching of God's word. The greatest service you can do for God then is not going out there just simply to preach to others and say, I can't serve God. Many people have said to me, I can't serve God because I don't know how to preach. As though the only way you can serve God is to preach. Leave the preaching to somebody else. What do? You live the sacrificial life, the Christ-centered life, the cross-centered life. And you will find that you will make a mark upon the non-Christians. You will be like a plow, or your life will be like a plow, guided by your life, by your hands, by your mind. It will be like a plow going through the earth and turning the ground upside down. And because you have passed that way, later on, the seed that will be sown in that person's life will take root and grow. It is the plow that plowed into my life. What is the plow? Is when I saw people who lived the life of the cross. That made an impression on me. I have met lots of Christians. I went to Christian school. I went to missionary school. And I came out hard like stone. I rejected Christianity. I had no time for missionaries. For me, these were all the Western imperialists, the Tiguojui, the Xianfeng, you see. I had no time for these kind of people. Missionaries. To me, these were people who were paid to preach the gospel. Maybe they weren't good enough to get a job at home. And so what do? They come around traveling the world at other people's expense and preaching the gospel. Who's interested in missionaries? But the kind of people that made an impression on me, as I said, were the people who had taken up the cross. They were not preachers. They were ordinary Christians like everybody else in the church. But their lives made an impression on me. Their lives were like a plow that went through my life and turned the ground upside down. So when the gospel was sowed, my life had already been turned open. The plow had done its work. It was no longer the ground that was closed and stony and hard, but had been turned over and receptive to the word of God. You and I are all called to be people who plow for God. That the way you have passed through this world will be a place which has been turned over, so that somebody else may come later and sow the seed, or maybe even you will drop some seeds in there, who knows? And that will bring forth fruit for God. The world will not be saved because we are good at talking. The world will be saved only when they see God's power in our lives. The power that, like the plow, turns the ground over. Now, and this is a point I would like you to notice. And many Christians don't understand this point too well. When you plow through someone's life, living a Christ-like life, you may upset a lot of people. They may resent it at first and be upset with you. Upset means upset, turned upside down. You see, they're literally upset, turned over. If I upset this cup, means I knocked it over, you see. Yeah. They may be upset with you. And many Christians are very afraid of upsetting people. Don't worry. No plow has ever done its job that didn't upset all the ground underneath it. It turned it all upside down. But there's no other way. Your life may upset some people. They may think you are too fanatical, maybe. Thank God for such fanatics who glorify Him. Maybe they think that you are too dedicated. You are too single-minded, plowing a straight furrow right through, refusing to turn to the left or to the right. That's okay. Whatever it may be, where you have passed, you have made a mark. Thank God for those Christians who are always plowing. Because you can see where they have gone through. They have turned the ground over. Those people who have been turned over may have been pretty upset at some time. Now, for example, when you set out to serve the Lord, you may upset your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters. You may upset them all. They may be very angry with you. They have failed. Their lives have all been turned over by you. You've disrupted the smoothness of their lives as they think of it. And you are distressed by this. Why should you be distressed? Remember that unless they are upset, they may never be open to God's word. When I became a Christian, I upset my family. I upset my father. I upset my mother. So much so, as I shared with some of you, my mother didn't even want to see me in the home anymore. She was so upset with me. But if I had not upset her at that time, she would never have become a Christian. Several years later, she came to the Lord. And when she came to the Lord, she really came to the Lord. What I mean is that she just didn't just go and get baptized and became some sort of a Christian. She came. Her life was turned over. But if I had not upset her, I plowed through her life indeed. Not because I willingly hurt her, But because there was no other way I could do it. I could not but upset her by serving God. The only other alternative was not to serve God and therefore not to upset her. That alternative I couldn't take. God had called me. I must serve Him, even if it upset everybody else. But remember this, don't be so afraid to upset people. Because without upsetting them, they may never be saved. Like the plow, you may never have turned over the ground. Understand this principle so well. That is why in the Lord's teaching, you will notice that He was never afraid to upset people. He was never afraid. Because many times the truth is going to upset people. Well, therefore, you are not going to speak the truth because it's going to upset them? Not at all. Speak the truth lovingly. And if it still upsets them, then it has still to be spoken. The Lord Jesus was never afraid to upset people. So this is the third. Let's get to the fourth point on this passage. We have seen now what it is to put one's hand to the plow. We have seen thirdly, what is the plow? The plow now we have seen is the cross in our lives, living a committed sacrificial life and therefore making a mark upon the world. What a tragedy that so many Christians go through the world and never left any mark of goodness in their wake. Does anybody know that you are a Christian in your class? Does anybody know in your office that you are a Christian? Probably you don't make any mark at all. You don't make any waves. You don't turn anything over. And so when the seed comes, there is nowhere for the seed to go because the ground is not prepared. Your life did not prepare these people for the gospel. But the fourth thing, the Lord says this. Maybe you don't make any mark upon anybody. For what reason? Because you look back. I suspect that the majority of Christians are people who really get nowhere as far as plowing. They put their hand to the... But have you tried plowing looking back? Or can you drive a car looking back? Can you drive a tractor looking back and hope to get a furrow in front of you that is straight? Of course not. If you are the kind of Christian who may have made a commitment, now notice, putting the hand to the plow is a commitment. The person already has got so far as to put the hand to the plow. We are talking about Christians, not about non-Christians. A non-Christian has never put his hand to the plow. He has never taken hold of the cross. But even if you have come so far as to take hold of the cross, you have put your hand to the plow, but you are still looking back. You will prove thereby that you are not fit for the kingdom. Notice the words, look back. In the Greek text, we have a present participle. And in the Greek, a present participle is a continuous tense, which should be translated as, if you, any man, puts his hand and keeps looking back, he is constantly looking back. It's not just occasional glance at the back. It is constantly looking back. This is what the Greek means here. It's not fit for the kingdom. Where is your mind? Where is your heart as a Christian? If you have become a Christian and your heart and your mind is still back, why do you look back? Because your heart is still there. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is there to look back to if there's nothing that attracts your attention and that doesn't attract your heart there? The Israelites came out of Egypt, did they not? They did. They were called out of Egypt. They became God's people. But where was their heart? Back in Egypt. You look at the first five books of the Old Testament, you will see the whole old story all the time. They came physically out of Egypt, but their hearts were still in Egypt. They were always looking back at Egypt and always grumbling that out there in the wilderness, there were not enough potatoes and there were not enough leeks and there were not enough garlic and not enough onions and all the nice things they liked, the thing that is strong taste, gives delicious taste to the food. And what are we doing in the wilderness when back in Egypt we had all these nice things? Their heart was still there. You may have become some sort of a Christian, but your heart has not separated from the world. And therefore, you put your hand to the plow, yes, but your eyes are looking back there all the time. The Lord warns you. It is not enough to make a commitment. This fourth point is about a total commitment. Putting the hand to the plow is a commitment. But if your commitment is not total, you may have your hand there, indeed, committed to the plow, but your eye is still looking back. you will not be fit for the kingdom. That is why I have so constantly proclaimed and warned that either the commitment is total or it will not be acceptable. Don't say to yourself, well, it's not my hand on the plow. There I am at the plow. I am teaching in Sunday school. I am in the news magazine. I am doing this and that. And I'm sure your hand may be to the plow. But your heart, that's what the Lord wants to know. Where is your heart? Now, this is very important. You are committed, but are you totally committed? Your salvation depends on the answer to that question. That is most important. So we come quickly now to the last point as our time is going. If your heart is still back there in the world, the fifth point we need to bear in mind is this. There is a kind of person that is not fit for the kingdom, even though they have come as far as the gates of the kingdom. Look at the person who was forgiven in the parable that we looked at. He was forgiven. He could have made it to the kingdom. And then he blew it all. He blew it all at the last minute. He did not live the life that was expected of him. He did not go out and forgive others. What about you? Are you fit for the kingdom? That was one type of person who was not fit for the kingdom. He was forgiven and he did not forgive. Why? He hadn't changed. God's grace had not transformed him. Why? That is the question. Think of yourself for a moment. Do not say to yourself, I have got the first step. I have received God's pardoning grace. Ask yourself the second question. Have you got to the second step? Are you dealing with others in the same way as God deals with you? If not, why not? Is it because your heart is still the same as before, still in the world? Are you fit for the kingdom? This is the question. Let us look at one verse as we are about to close, as our time is gone. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. There are so many verses here, but I would just like to draw your attention to this one verse, where Paul is saying virtually the same thing as the Lord is saying. I don't know what reason you might have for looking back, or why anybody might have for looking back. Why does a person put his hand to the plow and look back? Well, one of the reasons we saw is his heart was still back there. There was something that he still likes back in the world. But another reason might be that it's so hot while you're plowing. The sun is beating down on your head and you think of the nice cool shade back there. Or maybe it's so freezing cold and you're plowing there and it's a very cold, windy, blustery, rainy day and you are freezing. In serving the Lord, in plowing a straight furrow, you have to experience many trials, maybe persecutions. And look what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. In verse 4, he has been speaking about persecution. Verse 4, therefore we ourselves boast of you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions which you are enduring. Yes, the sun was beating down hard upon them as they were plowing. But look at verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God that, now notice carefully these words, that you may be made fit for the kingdom of God, that you may be made worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Now here you have exactly the same idea. Being fit for the kingdom or not fit for the kingdom. You are being made worthy of God's kingdom by the very fact that you are enduring the heat of the sun, by the very fact that you are enduring these tests. Are you enduring tests and trials? If every time you endure a test and a trial, you immediately say, well, I'm quitting. I'm going back. What kind of commitment do you have? The person who is totally committed does not discuss the question of looking back. For them, that is not a life issue anymore. That is nothing worth discussing. I have set my hand to the plow, and I press forward toward the mark of my high calling in Christ. Behind me is finished. Talk of quit is no more discussion. I have no question of discussing about quitting. I have no thought of looking back again. My eyes know only forward and no retreat. Christopher Columbus, as you may know, when he went on this great historic journey of discovering America, he set out across uncharted seas. And day after day, there was no land to be seen, no land to be seen. And the sailors said, let's go back, back. Their hearts were back in Spain or Portugal, wherever they came from. Christopher Columbus didn't know the word back. He did not look back. Columbus said, forward we go. Almost to the point that the crew were going to mutiny on this. They were going to rebel. They were about to rebel. But Columbus only went forward. And this went on day after day. He wrote in his diary, we sailed forward. And this went on day after day like this, until finally one day there was land in front. Because the sailors considered that there was no hope. No way they would find land. They had been out on the sea for months, and this is enough. But Columbus said, we will go. No turning back. That is the spirit to which Christ calls us. You put your hand to the plow, and you don't look back. What kind of person is fit for the kingdom of God? That is the kind of person, totally committed. Let us understand then this important warning that the Lord gives to us. Let us examine before God where we stand and see that we will plow a kind of furrow that will make a mark upon the world for Christ. And no matter how tough the going will be, we have no thoughts of looking back. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.